Very few people do one-on-one sales. What's the point of what I'm talking about? The point is in messaging. How do I reach out to you as a person? So when you're looking at the description of my product on Amazon, you're like, oh, this guy really gets me. He understands me. And so you really have to test your messaging on human beings. Go to a place where people are and talk to them about what you're selling and see how they respond to it. See if their eyes glaze over or see if they lean in and go, that's really interesting. Tell me a little more about that. And now what you're doing is you're crafting your messaging.
Do you want to grow your business bigger and faster? A free audit of your Amazon business can help you see and avoid threats and find missed golden opportunities to grow your business. I generally charge anywhere from $150 to $300 an hour, but this would be free. You can be a reseller or you can be a brand owner. All I ask is that you're doing a few thousand dollars a month in sales already. To book, just visit myamazonaudit.com. That's myamazonaudit.com to book in our call.
Ladles and jelly spoons, boys and girls, welcome back to the 10K Collective podcast for six, seven and eight figure Amazon and e-commerce entrepreneurs, a subset of the amazing FBA podcast. Now, I've got to tell you what I said to Coach Dan Gordon, is who we've got on the show, how I should introduce him. He said, I want you to say the greatest fraud I've ever met, but that's actually not the truth. Dan Gordon is an executive coach and speaker, and his mission is to raise the consciousness of badass entrepreneurs all over the world. So there you go. Welcome to the show, Coach Dan. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's a real delight. And I just so appreciate what you do, Michael. Helping people really step into the things that they struggle with and look at the parts of their life and their business that they need to work on. And just by the nature of the conversations that you have, you force those thoughts. It's beautiful.
Not a sort of soft, cuddly guy, really. I guess British people have a habit of being, you know, a little bit on the cooler side, quietly blunt, I guess, in a way. So yeah, I try to keep it real. And that's definitely the topic of today's conversation. So our topic, authentic selling versus Jedi mind tricks. Really like this one because it's a huge corrective to what's going on out there. So tell me, what's this all about for you?
So last year or this year, the Merriam-Webster word of the year was authentic or authenticity, which means it is a widely overused word that now has no meaning, right? So everybody wants to be authentic. Everybody, you know, and now, you know, people are training people how to be authentic, which is insane, right? Like, I'm going to teach you how to be you. And the thing that's, so what that has done is it's taken authenticity and made it a system, which is the opposite of what authenticity is. Authenticity is what's happening right now. I don't know what I'm going to say next, right? I'm just talking. In every conversation, in most every conversation that you have, it's an authentic conversation because you haven't prepped it out. And so when you think about selling authentically, that betrays all of the Sandler type methods, which is, you know, the customer's pain points, describing your product's features and benefits, the open, the middle, the close, all of those things that people use as leverage to sell their crap. And what makes it so inauthentic is you are not actually engaged with your client. What you are engaged in is the next part of your script. And yeah, you can get people to buy stuff that way. I mean, thousands of people have, but we are now moving into an age of greater authenticity. You know, the kids today, they do not go for that crap. If you start doing your product qualities and your, you know, the features and benefits, they go, whoa, wait a second, hold on, just talk to me. And I love that, right? I love that because it is forcing people to reevaluate how they show up in a sales meeting. And the reevaluation is, I'm going to put you first, Michael. If I want you to buy my coaching, then you have to come first. Not me, not this cool thing, not your pain points, but you. What are you struggling with right now? How can I make you a better person, whether or not you buy my services? And that's what authentic selling is.
Okay. Kind of scary for people who like to do things by the numbers, for sure. And that includes a lot of, literally by the numbers, I guess a lot of e-commerce entrepreneurs don't tend to have sales conversations at all. I mean, they often do, but they probably don't think of it as a sales conversation. If you're talking to a supplier, if you're talking to a freight manager, if you're hiring a photographer, but you know, the essence of what they do is done by a computer screen. And I guess that one of the problems with that is that you're not only removed by a system, but you're removed by a computer system. And so it's hard to get to grips with what you're saying as an e-commerce entrepreneur, I would say. So I know it's not your specialist area, but what are your thoughts about how can we implement what you just talked about in the context of, say, selling on Amazon or Shopify site?
So that's a great question. I get that kind of question a lot. I don't do one-on-one sales. Very few people do one-on-one sales. What's the point of what I'm talking about? The point is in messaging. How do I reach out to you as a person? So when you're looking at the description of my product on Amazon, you're like, oh, this guy really gets me, right? He understands me. And so your messaging to reach people comes from a quantitative conversation that you have with other people. And so you really have to test your messaging on human beings. And I would say that my best suggestion is to go to a networking meeting, go to a chamber of commerce, go to a place where people are and talk to them about what you're selling and see how they respond to it, right? See if their eyes glaze over or see if they lean in and go, that's really interesting. Tell me a little more about that. And now what you're doing is you're crafting your messaging. Now, look, you can do it through ChatGPT. You can put it out there. You can look at your analytics. Okay, this isn't working. Let me try something else. Analytics bad. Let me try it again. Okay, oh, well, this is kind of working. You're much better off testing it one-on-one with people because, look, human beings are a social species. We want to be in communication with other human beings. We want to feel that other human beings get us. And so we are only drawn to the experiences where those things happen, where we feel like someone understands us. Can I give you an example of that, Michael?
Of course.
Okay. So if I'm talking to you about coaching with me and I tell you, okay, that's $67,000 and you're like, oh, that's really expensive. I can't afford that. I can say to you, well, look, man, you got to invest in yourself, right? And I can say, you know, look, of course it's expensive because it's worth it. Are you worth it, right? But that isn't appealing to you. Instead, I can go, oh, man, I know that feeling. Like when we wanted to buy our Tesla and it was like, crap, this is a $100,000 car. I don't want to pay. Like I grew up in the Midwest. I'm a Jewish guy. I don't spend $100,000 on a car. Right? It was scary. It was terrifying. And then I started to recognize, boy, the things that this car does, it drives itself, all these things, it's what I want. And that's the cost of what I want. So do I step into my fears and overcome them, or do I give in to them? Right? So now we're having a conversation about the experience, not about the money, but about the experience. Okay. So how do we take that and move it into e-commerce, right? Let's not talk about pain points. Let's not talk about features and benefits. Let's talk about the things that prevents human beings from taking action, right? The human beings are designed to be paranoid. We're designed to think of the future as a horrible place, right? It's why human beings have lasted this long on the planet. When you're merging onto the motorway, your mind is running through an infinite number of scenarios about how you can die. And that's why you don't. Okay. So you have to understand that's how human beings are designed. And then when you start to deconstruct that, then your messaging is going to be much more, I dare say, authentic than it is just trying to convince people to buy something.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I had a very good business coach, a guy called Tucky Moore, who's an Australian guy. And I love the Australians. They're so direct. They're much more like British. Like Americans are super, super polite in my experience, and certainly in the business context. And he said, you know, we can talk about how great your product or service is, but you know what that makes you? We call it. In other words, if you start saying, yeah, you're going to get rich, you're going to get a Tesla, you're going to get a Ferrari, instantly, somebody like me is certainly like that. They're going to go, I just don't believe you. And also, even if I did, I don't want to be like you. So I definitely don't want to buy from you. Whereas if you say, you know, 67,000, that's a crazy amount of money. I could put a deposit on the house for that, couldn't I? Then you're relating to how somebody actually feels, which is, as you said, awareness of threat, awareness of problems, because that's how we survive, you know, particularly if you're in a tough e-commerce environment, or if you're physically in a big city like Chicago or LA or London, then you're 100% right. So starting by focusing on a problem is much more rapport building, because that's an everyday experience of life for most of us. So I really like that. I think that's a very profound insight that people forget.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I approach my prospects, really everybody, with four simple words. And that is, hey, I get it. Right? When someone says, I can't afford it, and it's not the right time, I'm not sure. Instead of trying to convince someone that they're wrong, which is what most salespeople or sales training tries to do, let me tell you why you're wrong and defeat you. And start with, hey, I get it. I know what you're feeling. I've been there. I feel the same way. I feel the same way now. I don't like the feeling of being asked to do something I don't want to do. When my fiance says, hey, could you, work on this? And I don't want to do it. I don't like that feeling. So that's it. When you approach someone with an attitude of, hey, I get it, I'm right there with you. I support your resistance in buying my product or service. Like, I support that. I understand it. You should be feeling this way. And would it be okay if we have a deeper conversation? So if it is a no, it's a no that is based on something other than just a primordial fear. Would that be okay?
Yeah, so asking for permission to explore things. And then also inviting a conversation rather than a resistance, kind of smashing things down like a baseball hitter or a player just knocking them away. It's true. There's a very confrontational tradition, I guess, even in lawmaking or the law itself in the US and the UK, that it's party A versus party B or lawyer A versus lawyer B. And that's how we arrive at truth, which obviously, you know, if you think about it from a scientific perspective, is a terrible way of arriving at this contest. And of course, that is probably not the way to win rapport with somebody. And yet somehow there's something in American culture particularly, but also British culture, that we have that very strong wiring, don't we? It's sort of to think of these things as a contest. Where do you think that comes from? And how can we deconstruct that instinct, to which I definitely have, to say, no, you're wrong, and here's why?
Yeah, well, it is survival. It's basic survival. So we, if you think about a few million years ago when we lived in caves, surviving was really hard. And so anything that we would come up with that allowed us to survive, that's what we would do. And anything that would detract from survival feels like a threat. So if you're resistant to buying my thing, it feels like a threat. So my survival instinct kicks in, and, survival is not, hey, I get it, you want to kill me, so okay, and take my cave. Right, survival is, hell no, we're going to war. So understanding that as human beings, we process things based on survival allows us to ask ourselves, am I in a desperate situation right now? Am I in a survival situation right now? Or am I just having a reaction? And 99% of the time, you're just having a reaction, right? But understand that your survival mechanism is channeling it and decoding it as if your survival is at risk. You know, we respond to going off of a financial cliff and the potential of going off an actual cliff in the same way. We don't think, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, actually, yeah, true. And I guess that, suppose what you're saying is to take a second, learn to control your initial reaction, and try, I suppose, in the sale would say, to summarize, I'm putting words in your mouth, tell me if it's this right or wrong, but that he or she who manages to control their initial emotional reactions best comes out best out of the encounter, if you like, between a seller and a buyer or a potential buyer. In other words, if they go, oh my God, I'm threatened by $100,000 price tag on this car, and you go, I 100% get that, as opposed to going, well, I feel threatened as a salesman, so I'm going to tell you why I might see wrong. And then you both go, no, you're wrong. This doesn't sound productive. But instead, which you go, I totally get it. would you mind if we just explore your fears a bit? And so you're being almost a therapy, like, aren't you? A therapist or something. Mm. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you have to be. I think if you are not a student of the human condition, you are a terrible salesperson. And I would go so far as to say you're a terrible business owner.
Right.
Because the human condition is how you grow your business. I've had the advantage of interviewing some really successful people. I got to interview Richard Branson's business partner, the guy he started Virgin Records with.
Right? Amazing. Yeah.
And Phil said, I said to Phil, like, why you? And he said, well, I was president of RCA Records. And I was making what would be considered now, you know, over $1 million a year. And Branson comes to me and says, hey, I have an idea. I want to start a record label. And, you know, now if you have an iPhone, you can start a record label. But he just had a couple little record stores in London. And he said, I want to start this Virgin Records. And it's Virgin because, I'm not trying to be funny, it's because I want bands who don't get signed, you know, the Virgin bands to get signed. And he was so enthusiastic about it. Phil left his $1 million job to do something that most likely was going to end up in failure. But he was so enthused by Branson's enthusiasm, he couldn't say no. And in fact, his boss said, why are you doing this? This is the best job. You've wanted this job for forever. And he said, yeah, but if I fail, I fail. I'll get another job. But if I succeed, if we succeed, holy crap, we're changing the world. And if you don't have that kind of a vision as a business owner, and it doesn't matter what you're selling, from, you know, from a cancer cure to fishing lures, if you don't have a vision that's about creating a better world, then you are doing yourself a great disservice. And it's never going to be that fulfilling. And I say this from experience, because I had a marketing company that I was not into. My ego was, but my heart wasn't, and it failed. And thank God it failed. Thank God I lost $100,000 and had an emotional breakdown, because it reset all of my switches and it allowed me to do what I'm doing today. I'm just saying, don't do that. Don't make that mistake of doing something that your heart isn't in, because it'll give you a heart attack. It'll give you cancer. It'll just, your body, your mind will do anything to get back out of it again. I was lucky.
So I guess I'm going to have to dig a bit more into this. I didn't even do the cliche thing of saying, what's your background? But I mean, that's more than just a background. You had a marketing company that failed and you lost $100,000, yeah, and you were happy about it. Tell me more about it.
Well, hey, look, man, do you want to live in the world's best prison, or do you want to live free in a crappy little apartment? You know, I was living in a very nice prison. And it was like a performance. Every morning I would wake up and the stage lights would go on, the curtain would go up, and I was Dan the marketing professional. And look, I'm good at marketing. I'm great at it. I just don't really like it. Right. I do it for my clients and it's fun, but it's not I wasn't put on this earth to be the world's greatest marketer. And so I didn't realize that, and I couldn't step away from it. And so I just kept trying to build the business. I knew I was headed in the wrong direction. You know, it's like you're driving down the motorway and you know you're headed in the wrong direction. So you put a cinder block on the gas pedal and you go, well, maybe this will help, you know? And that's what I did. And so—
I've so been there. My clients have— you even can see it up to where you kind of look at them. It's even look in the eyes of like, I feel my lack of purpose. There's a difference between somebody with a purpose who's hitting a wall because there are hard things going on in the business, versus somebody who just knows that they shouldn't be it anyway. I remember one client saying to me, you know, I really want to get into real estate. He almost kind of asked permission to not get into Amazon. I said, yeah, it's a very good decision. Let's just finish coaching. I could make you pay for a few more sessions, but it's pointless. Just stop. Yeah. You're into this thing. It's calling you. Do it. Goodbye and good luck, you know, which is an unusual conversation. Not typical, but I've seen it.
And I love that, because that's authenticity, you know, getting back to our core message here. It's authenticity and it's integrity. And it's living life what I call badass, right? Which is doing the things that you don't want to do. Like I had to learn the hard way to follow my passion, because when I don't, that's what happened. And what happened is, beneath a level of my awareness, I chose to hire a pathological liar into my company. And that pathological liar systematically did things that destroyed the business. Now, it was very tempting to point at him and say, if it wasn't for this guy, everything would have been okay. But if you're living life right, you're taking full responsibility for everything that happens. And so when I said, okay, if these are my results, I must have for some reason wanted these results. I can't imagine why, but I must have wanted them because these are my results. And if you want to know what your intentions are, look at your results because that tells you. Ultimately, I said, oh, I get it. I hired this guy to destroy the business because I didn't have the courage to walk away.
Oh, man, I'm so guilty of this it all the time. Like even right now, I mean, there's things about Amazing FBA that I think are great and things that are a bit of a sort of prison, and you know, we all have those things, but I see so many clients where I think the best thing could happen to you is that those products that are mediocre, that are not great, but they're not actually terrible and actually losing you money, just were destroyed overnight by Amazon or whatever. And you'd go, oh my God. And then you'd focus on the stuff that's really good that you're neglecting. Because there's so much of that. Like literally in Amazon, it becomes a mathematical thing. You have, you know, say 100 products or whatever, and you look at the profit and you'll find that 10 of them are giving you almost 100% of your profit, and quite a few are losing money you haven't even noticed because you're so busy, you know, trying to put lipstick on a pig marketing, as Jim Cochran puts it, you know, up fancy images and running ads and blah, you know, instead of going, well, this stuff really sucks. It's mediocre. Nobody really wants it. And we can only actually give it away when you look at the actual financial results. And so why don't we stop selling it? But it's hard, isn't it? I think, it comes down to an emotional discipline. As you were saying about the selling thing, I think letting go of stuff that isn't working. And by the way, I'm saying this because I need to hear it. Like my wife says to me, you know, you're very bad at letting go of stuff that isn't working. Like it's not one of your strengths. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
So let's talk about how to do that. Let's talk about how to walk away from something that isn't working. And let's start with the truth. It's hard because you don't know. You don't know if at first you don't succeed, try again, or if it's on the other side of the spectrum, which is surrender, right? There isn't a little needle that you know, points to one or the other. If you don't know, you make a choice and you do it, and then you fail or you succeed, right? To people who are struggling with this, I can tell you, you have not failed nearly enough. Like I say, I've failed more than most people that I know because I try more new things than most people that I know. It's like when I was boxing, I was so afraid of getting my nose broken. And then one day I got my nose broken and it was like, wow, that's not nearly as bad as I thought. And I became a much better boxer. Now, to be clear, I'm a terrible boxer, but I was much less terrible.
Right.
And, you know.
Okay, that's pretty full on. You got your nose broken and you thought it's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone in e-commerce is going to experience anything quite as viscerally horrible as that. Hey, folks, thanks so much for listening to our podcast today with Coach Dan Gordon. I hope you find him as inspiring and interesting and thought-provoking to listen to as I did. Takeaways for me from today, it's really about authenticity, right? Be real. Be where meet your clients where they're at. So in other words, if they're focused on a problem or aware of a problem, which may be the problem you're trying to solve, but it may also be the cost of your product or the commitment that they don't want to do, start with that and start by being real. And the other thing is very simple, but very powerful, which is if your business is based online, don't forget to go and talk to real people offline in the real world, especially potential consumers, and try and hone your messaging. I think that's really underrated and very powerful. And if you want a competitive advantage that is low tech and hard for other people to copy, that is it. I really think a lot of online sellers spend too much time trying to get their solutions online. In the end, the products are physical products that exist outside of the e-commerce and cyberspace, and the consumers that buy the stuff exist outside cyberspace as well. So if you start there, you're starting in an authentic place. So for me, that's one of many, many takeaways. I also really like the idea of being a student of the human condition. So lots of interesting stuff to think about. If you are interested in exploring working with Coach Dan Gordon, there's a couple of things you might want to check out. First of all, and he does it all via SMS, which is really different, right? So first of all, if you want the ebook, No Douchebag Selling Training, just text No Douche, NODOCHE, to +1, that's for America, 213-409-8366. That's No Douche to 213-409-8366. And there's a book, Jumping the Gap, which is free. Just text the word sales to 213-409-8366. So that's it for today. We are going to have a little bit more from Coach Dan Gordon next time. Meanwhile, happy hunting. If you are considering acquiring an e-commerce business and you are not so familiar with the e-commerce markets, you could get some help from me, as I've done for a couple of my clients recently. And it's quite a growing part of my consulting business, which is that I can have a look at an e-commerce business from you from really two perspectives and see if it would make sense for you to buy the thing before you get to the point of even putting in an LOI or letter of intent or heads of terms, depending which side of the pond you're on. And really, that would be the commercial due diligence and some basic financial areas. Now, the legal side I don't cover myself, and I'm not an accountant, nor do I play one on the internet. But the basic financials of it, nevertheless, still tell you a bit of a tale, as I hope today illustrates. And then what I can also do is look at the market you're considering going into, look at the demand, look at the competition, and evaluate really, is this a growing market? Is this competition manageable? Does the business have a solid grasp on the market, or even a dominance of the market that would make it a more attractive proposition? So if you want some help with that, just go to myamazonaudits.com. That's myamazonaudits.com. And I will be happy to give you half an hour of my time for free to look at that. And if you send me some documents, I'll even spend a bit of time having a quick look at the financials and a quick look at the market on Amazon as well, to give you a good early steer of whether you should consider buying the business or not. Obviously, if you own a business of your own already on Amazon, I can give you similar feedback as well. It may be with a view to selling it, potentially. I tend to act on behalf of people buying, not buying, those selling, but the same insights apply in both cases. Thank you so much for listening, and speak to you soon. If you are considering acquiring an e-commerce business and you are not so familiar with the e-commerce markets, you could get some help from me, as I've done for a couple of my clients recently. And it's quite a growing part of my consulting business, which is that I can have a look at an e-commerce business from you from really two perspectives and see if it would make sense for you to buy the thing before you get to the point of even putting in an LOI or letter of intent or heads of terms, depending which side of the pond you're on. And really, that would be the commercial due diligence and some basic financial areas. Now, the legal side I don't cover myself, and I'm not an accountant, nor do I play one on the internet. But the basic financials of it, nevertheless, still tell you a bit of a tale, as I hope today illustrates. And then what I can also do is look at the market you're considering going into, look at the demand, look at the competition, and evaluate really, is this a growing market? Is this competition manageable? Does the business have a solid grasp on the market, or even a dominance of the market that would make it a more attractive proposition? So if you want some help with that, just go to myamazonaudits.com. That's myamazonaudits.com. And I will be happy to give you half an hour of my time for free to look at that. And if you send me some documents, I'll even spend a bit of time having a quick look at the financials and a quick look at the market on Amazon as well, to give you a good early steer of whether you should consider buying the business or not. Obviously, if you own a business of your own already on Amazon, I can give you similar feedback as well. It may be with a view to selling it, potentially. I tend to act on behalf of people buying, not buying, those selling, but the same insights apply in both cases.